Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Will lowering your cholesterol prevent heart disease? And should you go on statins like so many others in this country, the side effects of which we really don't even know all yet? My guest is Dr. Stephen Sinatra. He's an internationally known and sought-after cardiologist, and he's also an author, and he created the Heart MD Institute. Dr. Sinatra, you and Dr. Johnny Bowden wrote a book called The Great Cholesterol Myth about cholesterol and that it's really not the culprit that we've always heard it is.
Yeah, actually, the reason why we wrote the book is that everybody believes that cholesterol is the main cause of heart disease, and it's a lie. It absolutely is not the main cause. I mean, cholesterol is found at the scene of the crime, but it's not the perpetrator, and we give it an enormous amount of airtime, and basically, you know, we need cholesterol in the body. You know, it lubricates our skin. It creates vitamin D when sunlight hits the skin. It forms neurotransmitters in the brain, so it makes us think more clearly. It creates bile salts for digestion. And people don't realize this, but the higher your cholesterol, Melanie, the more protection you have from respiratory infections or bacterial infections, even viral infections like the flu, the more protection you have from gastrointestinal inflammation and infections. And there's data to show from the Framingham study in this country and studies in Italy that the higher your cholesterol, the longer you live. So we chose the wrong marker in heart disease, and that's one of the reasons why Johnny and I teamed up to write the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth.
Now, in the book, Dr. Sinatra, you speak about statin drugs and how you used to be, you know, a proponent of them, and you do sometimes still, you know, prescribe them to maybe middle-aged men that have suffered at least a coronary already, but that you used to lecture about them, and now you are not as big a proponent of statin drugs.
Yeah, back in the early 90s when statin drugs were released, I was chief of cardiology, and I used to lecture all over the country on statin drugs. I truly believed that, you know, cholesterol was the main cause of heart disease until I looked at all my angiographies that I performed on people, and I started to think out of the box. But in 1993, I had a wake-up call because statin drugs were reported to reduce not only cholesterol, but they were also coenzyme Q10 killers at the same time. And, you know, being a big advocate of coenzyme Q10 from the early 80s and doing a lot of research in the animal model and the human model, I asked myself the question, well, how can something so good for the heart, being a statin drug, kill the very vital nutrient that the heart depends on? So there was a disconnect here, and I started to think out of the box, and I started to look at the literature and really look at this, and I realized that, oh, my God, this is a big myth. You know, like cholesterol, you know, does contribute, you know, a little bit to heart disease, but not the way we think it does.
Real culprit. Talk about inflammation, because you mentioned, for the people that have a very low attention span, four type really, you know, of the culprits for heart disease: oxidation, inflammation, sugar, and stress. Tell people what oxidation is.
Yeah, oxidation is when your bodily defenses, your antioxidant defenses, are overwhelmed by free radicals, and we get oxidation, and that's the number one cause of high blood pressure. We didn't really know what caused high blood pressure years ago. So oxidation is important, and when you have too much oxidation, you get inflammation. And when you get inflammation, this can cause constriction of coronary vessels, and the inner lining of the blood vessels, whether they're coronaries or any blood vessel in the body, has a layer. We call it the endothelial cell layer. And when that layer becomes inflamed or becomes unfriendly from anything, from mercury, cigarette smoke, from sugar, insulin, surging insulin levels, what happens is you develop inflammation in that area, and it's inflammation that sets the stage for plaque development. Now, will cholesterol contribute to that? Yes, to a minor degree. If you have small particle LDL, or inflammatory LP little a, or if you have a large number of small particles LDL, this will contribute to inflammation, or if you have dysfunctional HDL, or if you have this pattern B over pattern A. Pattern A is a fluffy LDL, which is far less invasive than a small particle LDL. So you need to know the types of LDL you have, and unfortunately, that's not being really conveyed to the public. And that's a very crucial part in our book.
Okay, so how do you, and your best advice for reducing these inflammatory processes that are going on in our body, whether they're from smoking, sedentary lifestyle, the foods that we eat, your best anti-inflammatory recipes?
Yeah, the best, you know, first of all, it's a good, healthy diet. Again, high fiber, you know, organic fruits and vegetables, range-free meat, DHA-fortified eggs. I mean, that's all good. That's all good. You know, you want to omit the omega-6 oils. Those are the ones that really cause problems, like canola oil, corn oil, soybean oil. You want to get your omega-3s, your DHA and your EPA. Those are anti-inflammatory. You certainly don't want to avoid saturated fats in your diet. They're the least resistant. I mean, the most resistant to inflammation. They're the least resistance to causing plaque, and basically coconut is really important. The monounsaturated fats like avocado, extraordinarily important. So diet is a factor. And then I believe in targeted nutritional supplements. There's many supplements out there that can intercept the ravages or neutralize the ravages of inflammation. So we have to be really mindful of what supplements we put in our body.
What are your favorites?
Mind body. Oh, I love metabolic cardiology. I love the awesome foursome. I love carnitine, ribose, coenzyme Q10, and magnesium. And I wrote the book Metabolic Cardiology because those awesome foursome nutrients actually generate energy substrates for the heart. They generate what we call ATP. And whenever you bring adenosine triphosphate or ATP, which the body makes, to the table, it not only repairs cells, but it restores cells. So I'm a big believer in a basic multivitamin mineral combination with the awesome foursome and omega-3s. That's my recipe for overcoming inflammation in the body, along with a healthy diet and also mind-body interactions, like we talked about, like laughter and prayer and meditation and Tai Chi and yoga. All those things will help to assuage the sympathetic nervous system.
Boy, I sure remember learning the Krebs cycle in graduate school. That was something, learning about all the ATPs. What is your best recommendation for amounts, like omega-3s? If people go and they get a good quality DHA, everyone wants to know how much of these things they should be taking.
You know, 1 to 2 grams a day is all you need, Melanie. That's it on the omega-3. On Q10, if you're healthy, 1,500 milligrams a day. If you take a statin, if you're a male, a middle-aged male with coronary disease, I put them on 200 milligrams of CoQ10 a day. The more advanced heart disease, the higher the dose of CoQ10. So I may use 400 to 500 milligrams or more in congestive heart failure. For high blood pressure, I'll use a little bit less. And carnitine, I use 1 to 3 grams a day. Ribose, usually 5 to 15 grams a day. That's a teaspoon 1 to 3 times a day. And basically a good, healthy multivitamin mineral formula that has, you know, your basic ingredients, your B vitamins, your low-dose vitamin E. You need some vitamin C. You need selenium. You need zinc. You know, you need magnesium, chromium, all these things. And together, they work synergistically, and basically, I call it a form of health insurance because of the toxic environment we live in. We really need to take a multivitamin combination with the awesome foursome.
And in the last minute and a half that we have left, Dr. Sinatra, you spoke about stress and that mind-body. I personally think stress is one of the biggest culprits. So, you know, give us your best for reducing the stress in our lives and getting ourselves to the point where we can really forge on and eat healthy and have good lives.
Well, the most important thing about stress is you can't sweat small stuff, and that's the problem. People sweat the small stuff. Look, it's all small stuff, and nothing is worth dying for. I can't tell you how many people I pronounced dead who were in fits of rage and anger, whether it was domestic situations or job-related or whatever, you know, family-related. So, look, there's nothing worth dying for. And if you are stressful and you're all stressed out, think of a time where you had joy in your life. Where you had happiness or an event. Maybe it was your birthday party. Maybe your first kiss. Maybe it was your wedding day or the time you had a baby. So I tell people, if you're under enormous stress, think of a time where you had joy. And that's important because that's going to discharge the stress. Crying discharges stress. You know, having emotional release or telling a person that you're upset. Saying the words, "I'm sorry," is absolutely incredible. It discharges the body immediately.
Well,
Telling the truth is important.
You know, these are some really great bits of advice from Dr. Steven Sinatra from the CT-based Heart MD Institute. He's also the author with Dr. Johnny Bowden of The Great Cholesterol Myth. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.